Well, it's good to see you here this morning, and I'm just so thankful that you're here and that I get to be here with you. Is God good? All the time. Amen. Amen. Well, this morning I have a word for you that I've had all week long just to kind of bask in it and just let it minister to me. And I'm hoping and praying that it's for you as well this morning, okay? You know, I'm wanting to talk to those of us this morning that maybe you just might feel exhausted. You feel worn out. Maybe you're here this morning and you're just thinking, you know what, I'm losing hope. But this morning, I want to show us a guy in the Old Testament, and his name is Jeremiah. He was a prophet, and his words are recorded in the book of Lamentations, chapter 3, and that's where we're going to talk out of today. And so, this morning, if you feel discouraged and you're worn out, I want to encourage you to read Lamentations, chapter 3, and you'll find out that this guy feels a lot like you and me today. And so I'm going to paraphrase the first 18 verses or so here, and then I'll get into verse 19. But I just want to give you some context of what those first verses were saying. And basically what Jeremiah was saying here in these first verses is he's just saying, life is not fair. Life isn't fair. My body is wrecked. I can't sleep. I'm broke. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. I'm overwhelmed with anxiety, and I don't even know if God cares. That's what Jeremiah is saying. Now, he probably said it a lot more Bible-y than that, but that's the basically, essentially what he said. And then he gets into verse 19, and here's where I want to start reading. Verse 19 of chapter 3, he says, I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I will remember them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. See, my goal today is to help you remember some of the powerful attributes of God that will give you hope when you're weary, when you're tired, when you're ready to give up. And so this morning, I want us to see here, he says, I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. And then it goes on to say, and it says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. And here's the attribute that I want us to talk about this morning. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness, for his mercies begin afresh each morning. And so today, the title of my message is Make Room for Mercy. Let's pray. Father, I pray that today that you would give us hope from your word. Lord, that you would let us experience your goodness, your mercy, your grace, and your faithfulness. Father, I pray that we would be changed by your presence and by the power of your word. God, speak into our hearts and our lives today. I pray that you'd minister to us as only you can. I ask this in Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. So this morning, I want to talk to you about three of the attributes of God, and they're all closely related, but yet they're actually very different, all right? And so this morning, I want us to look at one of them is justice, one is grace, and one is mercy. I want us to know that they're related, but they're also very different, okay? So what is justice? Justice is whenever you get what you deserve, right? And boy, do we love justice in our culture today. You know, somebody messes up and you're like, let justice be served, you know? Let them get what they deserve. And then there's grace. Grace is when you get what you don't deserve. Does anybody here this morning deserve salvation? None of us do, right? So we get what we don't deserve. We get this grace. God gives us something that we don't deserve. And then there's mercy. Mercy is when you don't get what you do deserve, all right? And they're all different, but they're a little bit the same. For example, most of us, we like justice until it comes down to us, right? We like justice for somebody else, but we don't want it for us. What do we want? We want mercy, don't we? For example, how many of you have ever gotten a speeding ticket for driving too fast? Okay, yeah, I'm not alone. All right. And so for me, though, I've only gotten caught one time in the 46 years I've been driving. And some of you kicked up on my keyword was got caught, right? So I have to admit, I'm not going to lie to you, I speed every once in a while, probably more than I care to admit. But it's amazing. I've only been pulled over one time for speeding. But, well, I've been pulled over other times. I did get pulled over about 2 years ago. It was a Sunday morning. Shelly and I got up and dressed. You know, everybody knows we live out in the country, and so we're driving into town, and I'm not paying attention. We're getting ready for a high-octane kids party we were having that morning, and I'm over there, you know, running my head and just not paying attention, and I top the hill. I'm doing a smooth 74, he said, and I top the hill, and there he sits, a highway patrol, and thinking to myself, oh man, this is being a highway patrol. I am probably not getting a warning today. So anyways, he pulls up and he walks up to the window, and I just tried to own it. I said, look, sir, I'm sorry. I said, I know I was wrong. I was talking, just it wasn't paying attention. He says, well, let me see your license. And he goes back to the car, and I'm thinking, oh boy, how much is this going to cost, you know? So all of a sudden he comes walking back up, and he leans in the window and he says, here's a warning. He said, it wasn't like you were doing 90 or anything. And I was like, man, that is so awesome, because he showed me mercy. You see, I was in the wrong and I deserved punishment, but he didn't give it to me. He showed me mercy. And the good news is that God is merciful as well. Amen. And we're going to talk a little bit about that this morning. And so, I want to show us in our text today in Ephesians chapter 2. I want us to look there for just a few minutes. We're going to see that Paul is contrasting our spiritual condition without Christ to that with Christ. Okay? And here he says in Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 3, he says this. He says, once you were dead because of your disobedience and many sins. So first, right out of the gate, he's saying, look, you're spiritually dead because you did a lot of things wrong. All right? And then he goes on to say, and he says, you used to live in sin like the rest of the world, obeying the devil. So now he's kicking it up just a notch, and he's saying, you're spiritually dead and you're obeying the devil. Okay? So he's really starting out great, isn't he? And then he says, all of us used to live that way, following the passionate desires and inclinations of our sinful nature. And by our very nature, we are subject to God's anger just like everyone else. So let me summarize a little bit of what he's saying there. He's saying, without Jesus, you and I were spiritually dead. Not physically dead, but spiritually. Because of why? Because of our disobedience to God. And whenever we disobey God, that automatically puts us in the category, according to this, as obeying the devil. And so you're following your sinful desires, and you're subject to God's anger. All right? And now, I understand that can get a little bit confusing, because how can a loving God also be an angry God, right? And so what I want to do really quick is I want to try to show you that love and anger can unquestionably coexist together. So like, if you have a child and you love your kid, which I hope you do, you love that kid and they lie to you. Well, then now, here all of a sudden, you feel love for the kid, but man, you feel anger and hate towards the sin, towards the lie, right? So now you've got it coexisting, love and anger coexisting in the same person. Or how about, say you have a friend and your friend drinks and they like to drink and drive and it makes you so mad at them. You love them and you don't want them to get hurt because you know they're either going to get hurt themselves or maybe hurt someone else. And so you love them, but man, it makes you mad at them when they do it, right? Love and anger. Or how about this one? How about this one? You can love your husband with all your heart until you don't put that lid down on the toilet. And ladies, at that point, you're praying, Lord, help me love this man, right? So see, love and anger can coexist. But what... You can both love and you can be angry at the same time. And so when God is angry, he can love people, and he can be angry at the sin that hurts his creation at the same time. And so at the same time, we have love and anger. And Paul's saying here, right here in this scripture, he's saying, without Christ, you're subject to his anger. You see, he's angry at the filth, the sin, and everything that goes against his holiness. He's not angry at you and I. He's angry at the sin. And we see here in verse 4, I want you to see there's two of the best words in the Bible here. And we have to remember what we're talking about before I read them, okay? So what are we're talking about? What are we without Jesus? We're dead in our sins. We're obeying the devil. We're subject to God's anger, right? And then Paul says this, two words, but God. Everybody say that with me, but God. But God is so rich in his mercy, and he loves us so much that even when we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Jesus from the dead. Praise the Lord. So in other words, even though we deserve to be punished because of God's mercy, his rich mercy, he didn't give us what we deserve. And I think a lot of times we're tempted to, when we look at God and we say, well, you know, sometimes God's just not fair. Well, sometimes I think we need to look at God and say, thank God he's not fair. Because if he gave us what we deserve, our sins would bring us to a place of death. Amen? So God is rich in mercy. And you know, here's the deal too. I think that so many people, they don't understand God because their view of God is skewed a little bit. Their view of God starts in Genesis 3, all right? And they read in Genesis 3, that's when Adam and Eve, that's whenever they sinned and they fell. And then you look to Revelations 20. So they think it started in Genesis 3, and they think that it ends in Revelations 20, where Revelations 20 talks about the punishment and the judgment of God. And so for a lot of people, after they've read these little bits, they start feeling like, well, they think about God, their theology basically is that I fell short, and so I'm going to hell. But that's not where the story starts. And I want you to know that that's not where the story ends. Amen? You see, the beginning is in Genesis 1, not 3. And we can look in Genesis number 1, you see where God created everything, and he says it's good. He says it's all good. Everything's good. The trees are good. The mountains are good. The fish are good. The cows are good. Everything is good. But then we see that he created man, and he didn't say that man was good. He looks at man, and he says, man was very good. Man was very good. And so we see where all of this starts is it starts with God's goodness. You see, he had Adam and Eve in the garden, and he tells them, hey, he says, party in the garden, be fruitful and multiply, right? He says, just I have one rule, one thing you're not supposed to do, and that's to eat of the fruit in the middle of the garden. You're not supposed to eat that. But then we know that Adam and Eve, they fell into temptation and they ate it. And so now we look at it, you know, the serpent said, if you eat it, you'll surely die. Well, did they die a physical death? No, they died a spiritual death. And what did God do? Because he's such a mean and angry God, he just struck them down, right? No, that's not what he did. God's mercy was new that morning when he entered into the garden. And what he did is he sacrificed an innocent animal, and he skinned it, and he made clothes to hide their shame. You see, he said there's going to be some consequences for your sin. Childbearing is going to be painful and you're going to work a lot. He said, but in God's mercy, which is new every morning, I've got something to hide your shame. I've got a covering for you, if you will. You see, his mercy is new every morning. It was there at the beginning and it goes all the way to the end in Revelations 21 and 22. All right? When you see that God makes all things new again. You see, it starts with good and it ends with good because God's mercy is new every morning. Are you tracking with me? Are you staying with me? All right. So now I want to look at the Old Testament and I want to look at a guy named David. All of us know about King David, right? Well, King David, he was in a sin in the part that I want to talk about today. He has just been caught in a sin. And if you read a lot about David, he's a lot like me. He was pretty good at sinning. And so, but then this one, in this particular incident, I want us to see something about David and what he says here. In 2 Samuel 24, verse 14, he says this. He says, "Let us fall into the hands of the Lord." Why? "For his mercy is great." What he's saying is, he says, maybe he'll have mercy on me. Let me run to a merciful God. And then he goes on to say this, and this is where it's kind of funny and it's kind of sad at the same time. It says, "But do not let me fall into human hands." I think that's funny because, he's saying, I want to go to a merciful God because he's good and he might show me mercy, but those people, they won't. Anybody know what I'm talking about? I'm telling you, you mess up and people will pile on, won't they? They're just looking for a chance to pile on. And the sad thing is that most of the time, those who should be the most merciful, us Christians, right? We should be the most merciful. We are often the ones that have the least mercy. I want to come back to that thought in just a second, but right now what I want to do is I want to show you just how much mercy means to God himself. In fact, if you look in the Old Testament, you can read some of the writings of that God spoke. And one of the things that I was thinking on here is that there's a part in the Old Testament when you start reading about how the temple was to be built. I'm telling you, there is so many instructions in there, it'll make you want to skip your reading that morning. But you read about it, and it's just detail after detail, like this is how I want you to build the entry. I want it to be made out of this, and the door's going to be this tall, and it's going to be this wide. And then here's the upper part, and here's the storeroom, and all these dimensions, and all these things that I want to be made out of this, and just right. And when you read all those things, right in the middle of God's instructions, God also says something else. He says, "I want you to, in the very middle of my house, I want you to build a place of atonement." He says, "I want you to build in the very middle, I want you to build a mercy seat." So in other words, God was saying, in my house, I want you to always make room for mercy. You see, it's in the center of his house. It's in the center of his heart. It's who he is. Because with the beginning of every single new day, mercy is new. And so he wanted mercy at the center of his heart and in the center of his home. And we see in James chapter 2, you can see that James, he's the one that tells us, he says that mercy triumphs over judgment. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And so why should Christians be the one to give the most mercy? Because we're the ones that receive the most mercy. Amen? And so why is it that those who receive the most mercy, at some times, why is it that we're the most judgmental? You know, I believe that just might be one of the biggest reasons why so many people stay away from God. Not because of who God is, but because how we represent him. Judgmental Christians without mercy, they're narrow-minded and they're hypocritical. And I'm not mad at anybody this morning, but I want us to understand that's why, because we're people who receive mercy, we should be the most merciful people out there this morning. So what's our message this morning? My message this morning is the message of Jesus, basically. It's the message that Jesus is knocking on the door. He's knocking, and if anyone will open that door, Jesus comes in. So in other words, my whole message this morning is just come as you are. Come as you are. Come with your pain, come with your brokenness, come with your sinfulness, come with your insecurities, your dysfunction, your drug addiction, your porn addiction. You come with your lying, your envy, your guilt, your shame. Come with something that you don't want anyone else to know about. Just come to Jesus. Stand with me if you would. I want you to understand something this morning. I'm not here to judge you. I've received mercy, and I want mercy for you. I want you to have the same thing. But I also want you to understand it doesn't mean I'm not going to tell you the truth in love. But it certainly means that I'm not going to judge you away. I just want you to come as you are. I want you to know this morning that you can come with your doubts. You see, there's so many people that have questions about God, and then they come to church and the church tells them, hey, you can't have questions and doubt about God, and then they just leave the church. Well, can I tell you that this should be the safest place that you can come with your questions and your concerns and your complaints? This should be the safest place. And I'm asking you this morning to come to Jesus this morning. Come with those questions. Come with your hardest question. Do you think he hasn't heard it before? Come with your complaints. Just come to Jesus this morning. You see, I want you to understand, we're not perfect. And because we're not perfect, we can't demand perfection. So just come as you are. You see, we've been forgiven. We're people of mercy. We're people of grace. And so my message this morning is just this. I need forgiveness. And you need forgiveness. So let's let him straighten us out. I can't straighten you out and you can't straighten me out. So let's just go to Jesus together this morning. This morning, I really believe with all my heart that God is saying for someone in this place, you need to make room for mercy in your home. I believe he's saying to all of us, we need to make room for mercy in our church. We need to make room for mercy in our heart. Look at the person next to you and say, make room for mercy. I want you to understand, some of you this morning, you need to receive this mercy. The mercy of God. Do you remember the difference between all of these things? Let's go really quick. Justice is when you get what you deserve. Boy, give that guy justice. Give him what he deserves, God. And grace is when you get what you don't deserve. None of us in this place deserve God's love or his salvation or forgiveness, but he gives it to us, even though we don't deserve it. And mercy is when you get what you do. When you don't get what you do deserve. I wonder how many of us this morning can raise your hand and say, I'm thankful that I had mercy in my life. I know I am. Let's go to him this morning. Let's just thank God this morning for his mercy that was new today. Let's go to him and say, thank you, God, that you don't let our sins keep us away, but you can wash them away and bring us in and restore us. Thank God that your mercy was new this morning, and thank God it was new back then when you sent your son Jesus. You see, it was because of your sin and my sin that someone had to pay a price, and that someone was Jesus. It was Jesus. The Son of God, he's the one that never sinned, but yet he was the one on the cross paying the price for you and I. Thank you, God, for your mercy this morning. I also understand there might be someone here this morning, you're saying, you know what? Thank you, God, for your mercy, but I'm still hurting. I'm still feeling hopeless. And I know that many of you are. I know there's so much pain going on right now. When I look around, I see more brokenness and more sadness, more anxiety, more stress than I think I've ever seen in all my time in ministry. And I want to go back this morning to what Jeremiah said in Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. He said this, and I want this to sink into you this morning. If you're here and you're feeling hopeless, this morning, I want you to hold on to this word where he says, the faithful love of the Lord never ends. His mercies never cease. Great is his faithfulness. His mercies begin afresh each morning. You see, this morning, if you're here, whatever it is you need from God, I want you to know he's standing here wide open arms. His arms are open and His love for you is never ending. It's never ending. So if you're here this morning and you say, you know, Pastor Jack, I'm hurting, I say to you, take it to Jesus. Take it to Jesus, because He can handle your doubts. He can handle your fears. He can handle your brokenness, your anxiety, your complaints. He can handle your sin. Just take it to Him this morning. Take it to Jesus. His mercies were new this morning for me and for you. And so today, if you're here and you're hurting, or you got a burden or whatever it might be, maybe it's an unanswered prayer, something that you've been praying for, or maybe it's a sin that you're trying to overcome, I want you to do like me this morning, and I just want you to raise your hands, and I just want you to begin to pray and thank God for the mercy that was new this morning, and that it's here right now, that His forgiveness is flowing in this room. Father, as we cast our cares on You this morning, God, we know that You care for us. And Father, I pray and I cry out to You this morning to do something in our church that only You can do through Your Holy Spirit. Speak into our hearts and our lives, God. Father, I pray that not a person that's here this morning that is here hurting or feeling weary or losing hope, Father, I pray that they'll not leave discouraged, but God, by Your power of Your word and by Your presence this morning, God, that they feel it and they know that they are not alone, that You're with them, that You'll go before them and after them. And God, You'll never leave us. You'll never forsake us. And Father, today we just commit ourselves to You. And Lord, I lay down every burden. I lay down every concern. I lay down every complaint. I lay down every fault. I lay down my shame. I lay down my sin this morning to a merciful God. And I say, have mercy on us this morning, oh God. Forgive us of our sins. Give us strength to stand for You. Oh God, I love You. I thank You, Lord, for Your word. Father, how Your word is so mighty and so powerful. I thank You that Your mercy was new this morning. Father, I want to pray for someone in this room that don't know You as their Savior. Father, I pray that as they've heard Your word this morning, God, that it would pierce the very hardness of it. And God, that it would sink in and it would just begin to soften it. And that they would open up their heart to receive You this morning. And Father, that all they have to do is say that they're a sinner and that they believe that You died for them and that You rose again and that you're there willingly to give them grace, to forgive them of their sins and to wash it away. Father, I pray for them this morning that they would call on Your name. Lord, that they would not enter into this relationship with You, though, God. I don't want them to enter into it half-minded and half-hearted. God, I want them to go all in, go deep with You this morning, Father. Help us to walk in Your ways and to know You and to learn about You. And Father, that this isn't just a spur-of-the-moment decision. We come to You this morning realizing that we are sinners and that we need a Savior. And so, Father, today we cry out to You, have mercy. Have mercy on us this morning, oh God. Speak to Your people. Speak to our hearts. Father, created us with a passion and a desire for You, for Your word. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your mercy that was new this morning. And God, I'm thankful. I know that tomorrow it will be new as well. Because You're a God that never changes. I love You, Jesus. And I thank You, Lord, for all You're doing in our hearts and in our lives. We give You glory and honor and praise. And it's in that precious name of Jesus. And we say, amen.